Yes, it is Friday, May 20. This is the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio, and a very good morning to you. If you're just tuning in, we are at the St Michael's Golf Club here at Little Bay in Sydney, ahead of the New South Wales Trainers Association Charity Golf Day, and John O'Shea is going to join us here in the truck shortly and go through his runners there tomorrow in Sydney. He's got Maximal running in the Doomben Cup as well. Adam Pengilly coming up shortly. We'll break down Brisbane's 36-12 win over the Knights last night, and they did it without Adam Reynolds. A couple of contentious decisions and non-decisions made during that game, but in the end, Loz, the Broncos have won five straight, and well, after round six, they're $101 to win the premiership. They're now $21. That might be a bit of a pipe dream for them, but they'd be desperately disappointed not to make the top eight from here.
I think they will make the top eight, and I base that on the way they're playing, and they're showing great resilience with their defence. They're playing a good brand of football. They're moving the ball. They've got good young forwards who are aggressive in the middle. They got a pass in them. They also know when to tuck it under their arm and carry it forward. They did it last night without Adam Reynolds, which was very important for their confidence. And you can just see how much they've grown. They've had a period or a few lean years where they haven't been at their best. These young guys have been exposed before they were ready. Now they get the confidence. They've added a bit of experience in the off-season with Capewell and Reynolds coming to the club, and they're gelling. And Kevy's got them playing a good brand of football, so they'd be very disappointed if they couldn't make the finals from here. The problem they may have is that Origin is just around the corner, and given that the Broncos are going so well, they may lose a couple of players to Origin. They're certainly going to lose Payne Haas. They'll lose Capewell. Then you look at guys like Cobbo.
And they'll pick him, Loz, won't they?
Oh, I think so. I think you just... Not a gamble. You know he's got an error in him. You know he's got a defensive read error in him, and he might have a drop ball in him. But everything else he does far outweighs those bad things. And he can score tries. He could do the unexpected. He's got that X factor. He's a strong at the back of the field when he carries the ball, and that's a big part of Origin, because Origin's traditionally set for set, and you receive the ball coming off your own line or 20 metres out from your own line, so your yardage has to be perfect. And Cobbo gives them that go forward that they'll be looking for. You know, you could lose a Corey Oates, you could lose a Katoni Staggs, they could lose a Carrigan or a Flegler. You know, they could have five or six guys missing through that Origin campaign, and that might play a part at some stage throughout the year, and it might affect them during that Origin period. But the way they're playing at the moment, you'd think that they'll play finals football.
Adam Pengilly from the Sydney Morning Herald. Good morning to you.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. Still trying to get over that product in the hair, Mido. What is going on?
Well, it's not true.
No, the product in the hair and the blue singlet.
Yeah. No,
it's not true.
You know what he did? You know what he did say in the break, though?
This would be good.
He goes, "She, you know, she stalked me."
No, I didn't say that at all. Oh,
she followed me around. She wanted me. She wanted to interview me.
Like, just the lies that get told on this program. You're the best. Anyway, last night, 36-12, Brisbane over Newcastle. But what did you make of, well, the two big contentious decisions that we're talking about? The Dane Gagai no try, and also the Selwyn Cobbo try, where Adam Clune looked like he may have been obstructed, and, well, the video or the bunker rule play on.
Yeah, Jared, I think there are two incorrect calls, if I'm being honest. The first one is Dane Gagai. Listen, we all know the rule's been in place for a number of years now. If you actually lose grip of the ball, you have to try and re-grip it. But in my mind, there was absolutely no separation whatsoever between the ball and Dane Gagai's arm. It might have like just loosened off his fingertips by a couple of millimetres, but if that's not a try, then what is a try? Like, I just thought that was a really, really harsh call on the Knights, and that's probably a case of the bunker just being so pedantic and just going so far with their microscope looking to take away tries. And I thought the Knights were hard done by, but the second call was the worst one, in my opinion. We have been listening to this rule for years and years now. If someone catches the ball on the inside of a decoy runner and then they promote the ball to the outside and a defender is impeded, then immediately that's an obstruction and the play is called back. How was that not called back last night, boys? I just do not get it. Clearly that there was contact made on Adam Clune. Whether he could have done a better effort in the tackle, yep, no doubt at all. But still, by the letter of the law and how the NRL has been telling us how this construction will work for years, that was a no try, a clear no try.
Who's been the biggest surprise packet this year out of the Queensland side, do you reckon, Adam? The Cowboys or the Broncos?
I guess a split hair between them, Loz, to be honest. There's not a whole lot between them. The Cowboys, I will say, have been ultra impressive, but they've probably had a bit of a softer draw than the Broncos, to be fair. And I thought the Broncos have been great, in particular the last few weeks. I had real concerns last night when Adam Reynolds was a late withdrawal of that game. I thought, geez, it's going to be a tough one for them. I don't know how they're going to get out of this one. But just their youthful enthusiasm from, you know, the forwards that you were speaking about before, boys, to their outside backs. Like Corey Oates seems like he's rejuvenated this year. Smarty Martin's been absolutely outstanding. And then Selwyn Cobbo, as you mentioned, I think he has to be right in the frame for Queensland Origin selection. Now, I think Billy Slater just almost cannot pick him the way he's going. So I think the resurgence of the two Queensland teams this year has been absolutely outstanding and a real feature of the competition. And to be honest, Loz, I can't really split them about who's been the biggest surprise bucket so far.
Adam, Bulldogs have started their search for their new coach. Who's at the front of their queue at the moment?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Clarky. It's very hard to sort of get a gauge on which way they're leaning at the moment. Gus will obviously take his time to try and sift through some candidates and figure out which way he wants to go. The one thing I will say, I don't think it's going to be a really quick process. I think it's going to probably take at least a few weeks, maybe 4 or 5 weeks for them to try and go through what they want from their new coach, who's going to be the most ideal person, and they'll come to some sort of decision. I know Josh Jackson said during the week he'd like to get some clarity on it from a player's point of view relatively quickly, but this is a massive call for the Bulldogs. They've just got to get this one right. We've seen with the Dean Pay era and the Trent Barrett era, it hasn't quite worked out. I know Gus is talking about getting an experienced man. You would think at this stage that probably leaves Shane Flanagan right in the frame as well as Paul Green, but you just never know with Gus what he's thinking. He made big power plays in the past. We saw what he tried to do with Wayne Bennett, bringing him to Penrith before the board sort of overruled him and decided to bring in Ivan Cleary. I wouldn't be surprised if Gus got something up his back sleeve or in his back pocket waiting to make a big, massive move here. Now, whether that's a Michael Maguire potentially, I don't know. I saw Madge yesterday came out and said he has no interest in taking on the Bulldogs job, but what happens if he's not coach of the Tigers later this year and in 6 weeks' time? He might not have any choice. So, listen, it's going to be a watch this space for sure. No early indication or no clear indication as yet, but I'd imagine that Shane Flanagan's probably somewhere near top of the pops.
And by the way, we've just got a text here. Adam sounds like he's in the shower, but that's because...
Because he might be.
He's all not. Right.
Just leave your head out.
It is just, it's just stopped, but it was pouring for about 3 minutes then. But anyway, carry on, Loz.
No, I was going to ask you about Melbourne would have been happy that Craig Bellamy has extended for another 12 months.
Does this happen every year, Loz?
Well, it sounds like it's going to.
Yeah.
This is just going to be
for Melbourne's sake, hopefully for the next 10 years.
Yeah, well, they want to hope that he continues to coach down there because it's going to be a hard act to follow when he leaves.
Yeah, I know they were extremely worried probably 5 or 6 weeks ago that Craig Bellamy was going to pull stumps at the end of this season and they're going to start the search for the replacement coach. But obviously we've seen the stories come out in the last 24 to 48 hours that Craig had a really good conversation with Andrew Johns, who told him you just can't retire and decided not to for, you know, the thing with Bellamy is that he always takes his time with these calls and he can be very indecisive about his own future. For all the calls he makes from the day-to-day running of a football team with a lot of clarity and he's really, I suppose, backs his own judgment, he on his own future, he takes a long, long time. But Melbourne are willing to give him that time just given his record and his standing in the game. So how this affects some of their recruitment decisions going forward, listen, I'm not too sure. Cameron Munster is obviously the big one and he's not off contract to the end of 2023, and Craig hasn't committed to coach to the end of to 2024 as it stands at the moment. So, yeah, I think Melbourne are quite relieved he's going to take on the job and keep going next year, and I'm sure we'll probably go through this whole process again next year in February and March and April. Everyone will be asking what Craig Bellamy's going to do. But you must have to think, Loz, he's getting really close to the end now.
Yeah, it sounds like he is, and I think with Craig, he'll certainly leave the Melbourne Storm in great shape. I said on the program yesterday, I don't think he'll squeeze them for everything that they've got and then leave them. I think he'll still leave them set up so they can have success. And I think that'd be a big part of his thinking as well. But I just want to touch on the Newcastle Knights. Where do you think they're at?
Oh, they're struggling, Loz, aren't they? They're really struggling. I know they got a couple of players back last night. And I thought Milford was quite good, Loz, to be honest, last night. A few of his touches were really nice. Obviously, he's lacking match practice and I think even Adam O'Brien probably thinking and tuck up and maybe lose another kilo or two to get to his optimum fitness. But I look at that forward pack, and I know they've had a lot of injuries this year. I do get that. They've got guys in and out of the team. But when you go through Clemmer, the Saifidi twins, Tyson Frizzell, Lachlan Fitzgibbon, Mitch Barnett, you know, that pack should be that pack should be doing a little bit better than what they have been doing so far, I'd imagine, through the first 10 or 11 rounds. I think Jaden Brayley's been a massive, massive out for them. Him doing his Achilles before the start of round one has been a huge blow for them. He just gives them that stability around the middle of the ruck. It just tightens them up. A few more attacking options out of dummy half. And Chris Randall's trying hard, but he's no Jaden Brayley, it must be said. But their halves are an issue, Loz. I just can't think of the real proper homegrown half they've had in the last 10 years. I know Jared Mullen sort of was in that hot seat for a while, but since Joey, like you think of that nursery they have up there in Newcastle, and they just struggle to produce top-line halves. And I don't understand why. So I think Jake Clifford was named to make his return through the New South Wales Cup this week, I think. Obviously had a few issues off the field he's trying to get on top of, but I can't see them playing finals at this stage. They probably had to win last night to be any chance of playing finals, and it looks like it's slipping away. So it looks like one of these years is going to be a complete rebuilding year, and that pack's not getting any younger either, Loz.
Racing. So we're back at Rosehill Gardens tomorrow. We've got Group 1s in Brisbane and Adelaide. Where's your tip?
Yeah, I'm going to sit with Rosehill, Jared. I've been in absolutely horrible form lately. I need to turn it around after the last few weeks. But Race 8, number 1, Lady of Luxury, is going to be my best value bet on the program. Really like what she did throughout the sort of late spring and through the summer. She had a nice little break, trialled up well. I think fresh legs coming into this race. A lot of these horses may be a bit bogged down on these wet tracks. And the 3 kilos off of Dylan Gibbons gets her in really nicely at 58 kilos. I think she's a high-class mare. So Race 8, number 1, Lady of Luxury from that good gate. Might be a nice each-way play there tomorrow at Rosehill.
That is $8.50 the win, $3 the place. Race 8, number 1 for Adam Pengilly there at Rosehill Gardens tomorrow. Thanks so much, mate. Have a great weekend.
See you, boys. Enjoy the weekend.
And also, just a text here, can you repeat Ali Mosley's tips now from earlier? She liked in race one, she liked Hawaii 5-0. Race one, number 6, an $8 chance and $2.70 the place. And she liked two horses in a race 8. She liked number 9, Maria Mia, in the New Haven Park colours for Sam Clibberton and Joe Prime, which is $8.50 and $3 the place, and suggested to also perhaps have a little play in the same race on number 8, Latino Blend, for Peter and Paul Snowden and Tommy Berry rides, and it's a $19 chance and $6 the place as it stands.
And if you want to be a part of the BSB multi tomorrow, Middo, race 6, number 9, Ducari to place, into race 7, number 3, Alias. Well, how am I pronouncing it?
Elias.
Elias to finish top 2. And if that happens, you can get
$10. $10, there it is on the Tab app, the Tab website. Click on sports and today's offers and you'll see the Big Sports Breakfast best. Now, Rory McIlroy, by the way, leads the US PGA or the PGA Championship 5 under par, and Cam Smith 2 under. At this stage, best of the Aussies, although Lucas Herbert is 2 under through 6 holes. Now, deliciously flaky pastry on top of bottom, which is rolled extra thin, a filling of 100% lean Aussie beef. Talking about Garlo's pies, the only pies you should be putting on your plate, Garlo's pies are simply bursting with flavour. There's heaps of flavours to choose from, and here's a thought. Take a night off from cooking, grab a Garlo's family pie for the whole crew. They're available in all Coles and Woolworths stores. Remember, we are located in the chilled meals section, so if you can't find us, ask for Garlo's pies by name. Garlo's pies, they're thin on pastry, they're big on meat. And joining us now, trainer John O'Shea. John, good morning to you.
Morning, Middo. How you going, mate?
Yeah, really well, thanks, mate. And firstly, the important issues, confidence levels there for Cowboys fans. You got an easy game against the Storm this week.
Not getting them at a good time, but we're going that well, mate. Anything's possible.
Tell you what, Johnny, you would have been surprised with them, or am I underselling the Cowboys in your mind?
Well, Loz, as an avid listener to your show every morning, I've noticed you've been underselling them for the last 3 months.
So. Probably 3 years.
They've got a great junior nursery, and they've enhanced that nursery. They've got, you know, once they're getting up to that 50-game mark, a lot of those young fellas, it's a big help, and you can see that they're playing for each other and they're very fit.
And, Jono, Toddy Payton's done an amazing job. I think I've been as critical of Toddy as anyone, certainly with what happened last year there. But, you know, whether that's setting a foundation last season or something's turned the corner this year, he's getting the best out of the whole squad.
He is, but yeah, they are significantly fitter than what they were.
Yeah, okay.
I used to watch Jason Taumalolo run on there last year. He had the back end the size of a greyhound bus, and you know, you can see they've been running up Castle Hill every day. I think Gordy said, and and they're playing for each other. And the biggest thing is all the sides this year that have gone really well, they've all had one thing in common. They've bought a seven, and we bought a good seven, a premiership-winning seven, and he's just getting them around the field really well.
Before we go through your runners, John, but Koshu on Wednesday, did you expect her to be that impressive?
Well, you go there hoping. You know, we had a belief that, you know, she's way above average. James had done a good bit of work on her in the lead-up to the race, and he was of that opinion as well. And so, you know, you just want to go there and see him do it. And she probably even exceeded our expectations because she had to make a long, sustained run. She got at the front very early and careered away. So she's got a very bright future, and hopefully we can get her back in the same order when she comes back in the spring.
You got five running tomorrow. Rose Hill, Johnny, who's your main chance? Will all five start?
We probably won't run a couple that are drawn wide, Loz. Shalal, he's doing car park, and so has Rob Adira, so they'll stay home. But everything else we'll take there is very fit, will run very well, and, you know, we're looking to, you know, hopefully continue on a little bit of a good vein of form.
In race five, you've got Awesome Wonder, which was the last start winner at Wyong.
Yeah, well, she's come from Europe. You know, we've sort of brought her here to run in the Queensland Oaks. She did a great job, circled them up and beat them easy at Wyong against the bias. So today, you know, she's getting out to her right trip. She's trained on beautifully. Would love to have probably drawn a little bit softer, but it looks genuine enough tempo. Tommy can let her find her feet, and hopefully she's not impeded turning for home. But she's a very, very good filly. She's a very good filly.
Moran in race seven, the Lord Mayor's Cup. He ran pretty well in the Gosford Cup.
Yeah, we sort of expected him to go a lot better second up, and he ran very well. So he's coming to a nice peak of fitness now, and he should roll forward, take a spot. You know, and he was good odds the other day and lobbed into a spot. He's similar odds this week and will run significantly better.
Yeah, $17 with Tab as it stands as well. And can you make a case for Mr. G in race six?
Well, mate, it's all track related there. You know, like we had a burn round at Hawkesbury the other day on the heavy 88, and he just doesn't like that sort of ground. He's working particularly well. He's very fit. He's got a good draw. Reese's got a good record on him. If he got soft ground, he'd be very, very hard to beat. You know, he's going really well. And with a lot of horses at the moment, their form's not truly reflected of how well they're going because, you know, they're on these heavy tracks, unsuitable ground. So, and he's one of those horses. So we're just hoping the ground, if the rain doesn't come, the ground stays as soft. And if it does that, you know, he'll run very, very well.
What about Maximal, mate, in the Doomben Cup?
I'd have to think he's doubtful, Loz. There's still a heavy eight. He's up there. He's ready to go. But they're tipping Armageddon there tomorrow, rain-wise. So he's probably, mate, he's probably more inclined to be in the paddock on Sunday and get ready for the spring because we're running out of options for him, and it just refuses to stop raining. Yeah.
And you've got one in, I think, is at Newcastle tomorrow as well, don't you? This'll be the one, Wide Gate, Mitch Builder, Ride Race 8.
Going really well, Mido. The only thing I beat him be the gate. Yeah, he's going for two. He's a really nice horse. It's going well, but he is drawn awkwardly. But Mitch, you know, your last down, it's later in the day. We'll get a feel for the ground. If he got a bit of cover, I'd expect him to be too good for him.
So it sounds out of all your chances, probably Awesome Wonder's the pick, but Moran, you know, pretty bullish about at a big price?
He's just for those punters who like to find a bit of value at, you know, $15, $16, he'll give you a really good cheer because he hasn't been fit. He's fit now. He'll roll across. He'll travel in the first three. He handles wet ground. He's got no weight. You know, so they're the sort of prices you want to have a look something each way and get a bit of a cheer out of.
Appreciate your time, John. Hope it's a successful weekend, mate. Thank you.
Hey, boys, always a pleasure to talk, huh? And, Loz, you got to stop underselling those boys from North Queensland.
I'm starting to believe,
I'm
Johnny.
I'm a believer.
Until you get off air.
Yeah.
See you, buddy.
Thanks, boys.
Good on you, John. Yeah, you can put your wife beater singlet on.
I can
get up the.
I tell you what, Johnny did make a good point there in that when we're talking about, you know, the Cowboys and their improvement, and the Broncos' improvement. How important a number seven is. you look at the number sevens, and there's no surprise that the teams that are going well have a quality number seven. And Adam Reynolds, the difference that he's made to the Broncos, Chad Townsend, premiership winning number seven, to the Cowboys.
We've undersold that.
Yeah, well, I think we have.
People criticised the Cowboys for signing him.
I don't think Chad's ever received that much credit.
It's premiership winner.
Yeah, but again, I love when you listen to his teammates talk about him. It's what he does even off the field around training and his commitment to hard work. That is what his
preparation stands him out. Yeah. And everyone at Cronulla will tell you about the way he prepares for a game. He's very diligent.
I think Chad was he was the silent assassin at the Sharks. I don't think he ever got the credit that his teammates gave him the credit, but media, asked people that spoke about the Sharks even through that period, very rarely would you be talking about Chad Townsend. And it's
well,
the same
he's
with the
not a fancy type of player, is he?
He gets it done, though, every single week. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. And this morning in the PGA Championship, the year's second major, Rory McIlroy in the clubhouse, shot a 5-under-65 there at Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Leads by one shot from Will Zalatoris and Tom Hoge, who are both 4-under par and in the clubhouse. Matt Kuchar and Abraham Anser at 3-under. Now, amongst the chasing pack at 2-under, Cam Smith, the Aussie, shot a 2-under-68. Lucas Herbert out on course, 2-under through 7 holes. And as far as some other Aussies are concerned, that's all I'm seeing up there in the leaderboard at this point. Jason Day is 1-over through 10 holes. Cam Davis shot a 2-over-72. Mark Leishman, 2-over through 10 holes. Matt Jones, 3-over. He shot a 73. Minwoo Lee, 3-over through 14 holes. And the great Tiger Woods shot a 4-over-74 in his opening round there. Now, this morning in the Premier League, seismic result for Everton because they've avoided relegation. They've beaten Crystal Palace 3-2 at Goodison Park, having been behind 2-0 at half-time in that game. And they're safe because the Aston Villa-Burnley game as well, well, that finished 1-1 and Chelsea and Leicester 1-1. So Everton 4 points clear of the drop zone, which means either Burnley or Leeds will be relegated on the final day. And Leeds are in the bottom three on goal difference as it stands. Yes, Lots.
Well, that's a good result. That's a massive result for Everton. And Mido, I am pleased that you're not here jumping up and down because Everton have been demoted.
Oh, we've got bigger problems, like competing for the title on Monday morning. I tell you what, we are here at St. Michael's
Golf
Club.
You're no chance.
St. Michael's Golf Club in Little Bay.
Second. No one remembers second, mate.
Just down past Clarkie's got a few mates there in Long Bay, which he is going to go and visit just after this.
I have
this,
been to Long Bay.
Mate, what about the group out here?
Oh, no,
just
have
outside.
A go at
have a go at
who's
them.
The crew out there, Loz? I can't see out the window.
Well,
who you got there?
They're all talking there. Golf ability up.
There's some heavy hitters.
Yeah, some real heavy hitters.
What, Greg Norman? Who are we talking about? Tiger? Who are we talking about here?
Oh, look at them. Look at them.
Well,
they're
Chris
dressed
Roots,
for their case.
The Rooter from the City Morning Herald.
Yeah, the
Love
Rooter's
the
there.
He's my favourite.
Barwick's there.
Yeah.
How does he hit, how does he hit
no
a ball,
idea
Barwick?
What's going on.
No, he wouldn't have a clue. Yeah.
Not the greatest golf conditions, are they?
So he never shuts up, Barwick.
Tipster he's always extraordinaire, looting. Nick Ashman.
He's always taken... Oh, no, he's listened now. He can hear me talking about
it. Yeah, Barwick
it.
Was in good form in the marquee at Scone last Friday.
Oh, was he?
Was he basically made up for what you did?
Oh, right.
Or your absence.
No, he's a good tourist, Barwick. He goes all right. Where are you going, Russ?
Oh, you didn't want me to, you didn't want me to say that.
No. I hope people knew
okay.
he was in.
Well, it's time to check in.
Scone? Did you want people to know you were in Scone?
No.
Did you tell them you went to Scone? He looks confused now.
Can't say anything on this show anymore.
Oh, no.
Joining us now, see what we've got to check in. We've got to check in on Royce's big war. Roy Simmons, this is day 4. And they're going from Carcaw to Fitzgerald Mount. So 27.7 km today.
Actually, Mido, sorry. On this one, rain, hail or shine, it's game on, right?
Well.
You can't. If you're in these conditions, you've got to walk 40 km. Are you joking?
Well, that's a good point.
You've got no choice. You've
got to go. No,
you're not
you
lugging with an umbrella. You're not walking 40 k's with an umbrella.
Well, to get an update, you can ask the questions yourself, Clarkie, because joining us is a man who played, 117 games, nearly all of them for Penrith, a handful for Manly, 1986 to 1995, played in that famous 91 grand final with Royce Simmons against you, Loz. Cole Bentley joining us. Cole, good morning to you.
Hey, how you going? All right? Long time no talk.
Well, we want to find out, firstly, whether you're walking in the rain or not. Yeah,
Cole,
or all the
surely
elements.
It's not game on in these conditions.
No, it's a beautiful -5 degrees out here. Oh. No, it's not really. It's 4 degrees. It's pretty good. It's overcast, but it looks like it'll be a pretty good day. So, yeah, no sun out, but it looks like it's going to be pretty good.
What do you do around preparation? If it does start raining, just saying to the boys, surely you're not walking 40 k's with an umbrella.
Actually, I don't think it's going to rain, but in terms of preparation, I have been walking with Royce for the last few months just to prepare. So, the great Lenny Stacker, ex-Penrith coach, he walks with us. But Stax one morning said, "Oh, hey, Cole, we've done 20,000 steps." I said, "That's fantastic." I said, "It's funny, Royce has done 40,000 with his little legs."
I'm sure he copped that okay, Royce. He would have given you a return serve, did he?
Oh, yeah. You know what he's like. He'd give it to me about 10 minutes later, non-stop for about 10 minutes.
It's a good thing you're doing, Cole. How many days are you walking, mate? You just doing the one?
Yeah, just today, Lod. So I think it's about 28.7k. So just the one today. Then there's a function on tonight back at the Royal Hotel. So day today.
Hmm. Have you left car call yet, Cole?
No, we're just putting our big walk gear on. Royce's big walk, his t-shirt and his hat. He's got a bucket hat, Royce, so I said to stick his bucket head. So we're putting our gear in. I think we're ready to go in about 2 or 3 minutes. So there's myself, Barry Walker, Brad Waugh, ex-Panther player, yeah, and Lenny Stagger. So good crew. So there's plenty of banter, I reckon, over the next 6 hours.
How's Royce feeling, mate? Again, I know it's obviously, you know, unbelievable what so many people are supporting and helping out and money's being raised. But, again, day four. So how's the legs? How's the mind? What's the feeling like around the group and particularly with Royce at the moment?
No, it's positive. We went to Blaney Chinese restaurant last night and then we're walking home about 10 o'clock after a couple of beers and he had a bit of a limp about him. I think he had a couple of blisters, but we just told him to toughen up. But he's going okay. We've got the physio from the Penrith days. He's here rubbing him down and looking after him. So it's really positive, and just really positive about the cause and the money we're raising for dementia and the Royce Foundation.
You know better than anyone, Cole, what a tough player he was, and there wouldn't have been a more determined player than Royce, and he's facing this challenge head on, and he's pretty determined that he wants to raise awareness and some money to stop, you know, what's occurring. But you know him well. How is he coping, and how's he handling the situation?
Yeah, hey, Lozzy, you know him well. I think you two have been a couple of times or been pretty close to him. But mate, this is typical Royce. He said I'd stop feeling sorry for myself. How can I raise the money, not just for him, to like stop the disease or get a cure for it eventually? And, mate, it's not about him. It's about how he can help everyone else. So we did a really good big fundraiser at St Mary's Leagues a few weeks ago, and he said the same thing. He said, it's not about, it's not going to just help me. It's going to help all the other people who get it in the future. So that's the sort of bloke he is, Lozzy. He's just a tough bugger. And like I said, he was limping a bit. He's got some blisters, but, mate, just so determined to raise some money for a great cause.
We're speaking with former Penrith player Cole Bentley, who's doing Royce's big walk with Royce Simmons, raising money and awareness for dementia research. And Cole, what was it, a couple of days ago, what were the reports with Langmack with the group anyway?
Mate, well, they were talking about Langmack and Barr.
Did he shut up, Langmack, or just kept going for the whole 40k?
well, I wasn't there, but they were telling that he didn't do a lot of walking, did a lot of talking, and then I think Barr lasted about 5Ks, and then he said, "Oh, I think I've pulled an injury," so he jumped in the van. And so they were raising money for how many kilometres they walked. They wouldn't be getting much.
I can only imagine. Hey, Cole, can you believe 31 years since you guys won the comp back in 91?
Oh, hey, no, we were just talking about this a few weeks ago and made some great memories there, and I played against you guys, and mate, just goes so quick. I think we're all in agreement there how quickly it goes, but mate, just unbelievable times, and really cherish those memories, and mate, pleasure playing against you, mate. You're a champion and good bloke and obviously great player, so we just enjoyed our battles back then, and it's great to have a chat, mate, a few years later.
And they were wonderful battles, and Penrith certainly, when Freddie arrived, and when did it all sort of start? And for Penrith, when you knew you had that good side, was it? I know Freddie was coming through, and Brandy was always there, but was it when you sort of got Pete Kelly, Chris Mortimer, those type of guys to the club that you really thought, oh, geez, we're on the verge of some good times here?
Yeah, well, hey, Lodge, you know this bloke just as well as I do. Sheensy started it when I came out in 86, and he bring the juniors through. Then Ron really bring that sort of toughness and recruited Peter Kelly and Chris Mortimer, and then Gus sort of bring the finesse into it. And as you said, you get Freddie and good mix of young players and older players, and just had a really golden run through like that 89, 90, 91. So... some great memories, and mate, takes a lot. But Sheensy, mate, he's the one who started it, and then he was at the Royce function at St Mary's a few weeks ago, and had a good chat to him. So yeah, no, great memories there, Lord.
And Cole, not too long after your playing days, he had a stint there on the judiciary panel. I was thinking, Loz, you wouldn't have been to the judiciary that many times. I was wondering.
No, I never went.
You never went in your career, not
squeaky,
once.
Squeaky
never
clean.
Oh, that's
goody two shoes daily.
Sickening.
No, you know what it was? He wasn't goody two shoes, but he was a suck old of the refs. He sucked up to all the referees, got away with murder.
Possibly.
The 80s, 90s Cameron Smith, you.
Oh. Oh, no, don't put me in his class.
What was your most memorable case, Cole? The one that stands out for you when you were on that panel?
Oh, mate, actually, there's probably a few, but... what can I tell you? What can I tell you, Blake? That I can say.
Probably not much. Are you still got anything to do with the game now, Cole?
No. I was on the board at Panthers for a few years, but no, not really. But the judiciary was pretty funny. There's a couple of good stories there, but we can share that. There's a couple.
I would love to hear those. They're going to have to be off air. Look, we appreciate your time, Cole, and what you're doing, unreal. And just a reminder, everyone listening as well, roycesbigwalk.com.au is the website, and I see they've got upwards just on this website beyond $110,000 now. And I know they've raised money elsewhere around with the events they're doing.
What's the goal? What did Royce say what he wanted to, what he was looking at trying to raise?
Well, Cole, you might know that. Do you know what his sort of overall goal is?
Is there a number he's trying to get?
Yeah, mate, I think he's over 500 at the moment. Like, this is all the functions. Then I think he wants to get to a million. So that's...
Unreal.
And, mate, not knowing him, I wouldn't doubt it for 1 second.
Yeah, brilliant.
Appreciate your time today, this morning. Enjoy your walk today, Cole, and... we'll check in.
Hey, guys, great to chat to all of you, and thanks very much for the awareness for Royce Foundation and dementia also. Come on,
Ben. Good on you, Cole. Great to speak to you, buddy.
Royce has given it to me now. Come on, Bentley. So,
you're late.
Good on you, Cole.
Oh, brilliant.
Bye.
With the cooler weather arriving, get into Totally Workwear Rydalmere for all your winter workwear gear. We stock the best brands like King G, Hardjacker, FXD and Steel Blue. Plus, check out their new Fuse Workwear by King G. Does your business workwear branding need a freshen up? Darren and the team will get you sorted. Open until 7 p.m. every weekday. Totally Workwear, Rydalmere, 279 Victoria Road, opposite Bunnings and Macca's. Your winter workwear one-stop shop.
Good morning, Brad Davidson. How are you?
Yeah, morning, guys. How are we going?
Not too bad, thanks. Little Bay, we're at St Michael's Golf Club ahead of the New South Wales Trainers Association Charity Golf Day. And a bit of drizzle here, but in the western suburbs, I mean, what are we expecting as far as this track's concerned at Rhodes Hill tomorrow?
Yeah, well, look, you know, I think we're going to predict a heavy track of some degree, guys. It's just depending on how much rain we're going to get in the next sort of 48 hours. I'm just having a bit of a look at the update now. We're having a look at it yesterday. They were predicting 10 to 20 mil tomorrow and 6 to 15 today. So I think we're going to be pretty wet again, guys. Obviously, that track's sort of soft 7, heavy 8 at the moment. So we're going to be predicting, I would say, a heavy 9, heavy 10 again, depending on how much rain we get. But, yeah, looking at it, it does look pretty nasty for the next couple of days. So a bit frustrating because these tracks are starting to dry out, and we saw that last week's going where it's played particularly well, but you can't do anything about rain on the day before and on race day.
What's your thoughts on the Lord Mayor's Cup tomorrow, mate?
Well, Loz, I think the weather forecast is the key. If we do get all that rain, I think it does fall into the hands of a horse like number 11 Bethencourt and number 8 Irish Sequel. I think they're the two that are going to really love the conditions, particularly Bethencourt. We've just seen him go to a completely new level the last couple of starts on genuine heavy 10. So if we get that same sort of setup tomorrow, that's going to really help him. He gets in with 53 kilos. I know he's up a long way in grade from a midway race to this type of race, but I've always said it, there's not a great gap between these types of horses at midway to sort of midweek to Saturday grade. It's definitely a lot bigger in the sprinting ranks, the gap. So I think he can definitely shape up here with no weight on his back, providing we get that bottomless track again. And Irish Sequel's the other one. I think he can turn the tables on a horse like Elias. I just think it's probably too firm for him the other day. I think that the ride on Elias was great in the Walker Gold Cup, and I just think he's the one, if the rain comes, he's going to love that. And it'll make it more of a staying test rather than a sit and sprint, which Elias prefers. So for me, Bethencourt and Irish Sequel are the two there, respecting Hopeful, who's in the mix as well. But Elias, the one I'm probably happy to take on this week, albeit that we tipped it in the Wagga Gold Cup.
And your multi, though, Loz.
Yeah, I've got him
top two.
Top two.
Elias top two and Dakuri to place in race 6, number 9, Dakuri.
Yeah, race I like seven,
Yeah, go for it, Dover.
Yeah, I like the effort there first up from Dakuri. Definitely in the mix from me. I thought it was a deeper race, that, guys, than the market gave it credit for. You know, Dynasty there, I think, was around the $2.50 mark. And I just thought I had about $6 to field in that race personally. So I thought it was pretty open. And $8.50 Dakuri, definitely a great chance there. And while I'm taking on Elias, I still think he's a great chance, Loz. So I'm just trying to look for an angle on the wet track. But look, he gets through the wet ground as well. So I'm sure he'll run you a big race there and give you a shout for the multi for sure.
Up north, will you take on Zaki?
I guess it's a bit hard to because he's sort of there. But saying all that, they're a bit in the same boat, guys, with this weather, you know, predicting some rain on race day again. And if that comes, I mean, it's going to definitely help a horse like Polly Gray. I mean, Zaki gets through the conditions, but we know Polly Gray's an absolute swimmer. Yes, she was. Zaki had the better of her there in the Hollandale by 0.8 of a length, but it wasn't like it was a dominant performance. So, you know, if we do get a genuine heavy 10 there tomorrow, $1.50, is he a play for multi? I would be sort of on the fence with that one. He's clearly the horse to beat, but I wouldn't be talking people out of horses like Polly Gray just simply because of that genuine heavy 10 if we get it there with the rain tomorrow.
All right, what's your best then at Rosehill Gardens tomorrow?
Yeah, I've got a couple there. I'm still waiting to hear if this horse is actually heading to Rosehill or to Queensland on Saturday. But race 5, number 12, our Ravine. I just think she's the filly on the way up here in the 2,000-metre event. She takes on LaVille there for the Australian Bloodstock team, who looks to be going particularly well as well. But I love the win last time out. Her first up win was great as well. And I just think she's the one probably heading on to that Queensland Oaks path, I'm assuming, that it's going to be pretty hard to beat there tomorrow if they do decide to line up in Sydney. Race 5, number 12, our Ravine. And the other one for me at a bit of odds, Race 9, number 17, Max Schnell. It's around the $13 mark. I just think you put a pen through last start, pulled up slow to recover. I think he gets through the conditions okay. He was a good winner on a heavy track prior to that on the Kensington track at Randwick. And the key there tomorrow is he gets in with 51 kilos after the claim of Reece Jones. He's going to do no work from the low draw. And he's just going to get a lovely run just behind the speed. And I think he'll be there in the finish somewhere at around that $13 mark and $3.60. So on an each-way basis, I think he'll run at the race as well. Race 9, number 17, Max Schnell.
Okay, race 5, number 12, and race 9, number 17 at Brad Davidson's plays at Rosehill tomorrow. Have a great weekend, Davo.
Yeah, you too, guys. Enjoy it. Cheers.
Now, the Tab Quaddy playoffs are rolling again, and a share of $70,000 remains up for grabs. So it's been a $50 hypothetical bet at a different track each week, and there's a weekly $10,000 prize. Or if you land one of the top quaddies across the 4 weeks, Well, you win a share in $30,000. Now, Victoria's up this weekend, then it's New South Wales next weekend. Just head to tabinfo.com.au/quaddyplayoffs. That's tabinfo.com.au/quaddyplayoffs. Or, of course, you can find it in your Tab app as well. It's about to tick over 8 o'clock. Coming up after the news, we've got Chris Waller joining us. Oh, pretty wild.
It's on today.
Trialing this morning.
It's on today,
Clarkie's
boys.
First filly of the thoroughbred kind.
Don't screw your nose up, Daly. What's that?
Know what's going to happen. Know what's going
to
happen.
Where's my trainer? Get my trainer on, please. I want to have a chat to him.
He's on it.
You know he's going to have beginner's luck.
Oh, well, you can just see it.
You just see it happening.
Yeah. Well, he was going to go and watch.
Yeah.
I want to. I'm not sure about these conditions.
Is it okay to be jealous?
What are you jealous of?
Because I just know that you're going to have luck.
Mate, come on.
And I'm not a part of it.
Give me some love.